We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley, and you can listen to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, please go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thank you for joining me today. This is Laura Rowley, your host of Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. And you can reach me at laurarowleyhealer.com. I'm available for private sessions through that website or for workshops. I'm glad you joined me today. Today, our topic is a discussion about gratitude and how we can use it in the animal kingdom and really in our own lives, because if our own lives are filled with gratitude and we're using that as a tool to move ourselves forward and to grow and to not get stuck in the things that bother us, but to keep things active and moving, full of joy, full of happiness, if we do that for ourselves, then of course we're like the sun that shines and everything around us senses it, especially the people and the animals that share our lives, especially our families and our pet families. So our responsibility to ourselves is strong to live the best life we can live, and gratitude is a topic that contributes really to every aspect of happiness. And today I have a special guest that is an author. She has written poetry. She has written prose. She's published 8 consecutive times in the annual collection of Canadian poems called the Polar Expressions Publishing. Trisha Seitz-Bersma has also been a recipient of the Director's Award for Poetry in 2021, a big honor. And she's also, in March of 2017, she's won a literary award for the Summer Gardens Gratitude in Nature book that she wrote, which is poetry, for highlighting the beauty of the Cayman Islands. So, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Laura. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So you also, since we're doing your biography and we're discussing your accomplishments and where you have decided to press your life toward, you're also a HeartMath certified trainer, I understand.
Yes,
maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
I found HeartMath, HeartMath found me about 15 years ago. I was recovering from a family trauma, and we were just doing some intense healing. And, 15 years ago, social media was just, it was starting. And I must have clicked on a post that I found helpful. And what I did was I signed up for more posts. And it just seemed to be that when I needed it most, along comes a HeartMath post that would lift me up, give me something I could use right away to help me navigate the process my family was going through. So I continued, and, during that time, I wasn't able to absorb very much. When you're going through something hard, sometimes we're limited in what we can absorb. Those posts were absorbable, and I continued my journey with HeartMath, using it with myself, the people around me, the animals around me, and then was able to complete certified mentor program, then the certified trainers program, and my education is ongoing because, let's face it, heart anything heart topic, heart energy, living from the heart, it's a life journey. So heart math really becomes a lifestyle and my go-to for my work with gratitude, my work with writing, my work with the animals, and also when I'm with the people closest to me.
Right. So today our topic is how animals' attitude shows gratitude. So really I want to talk about in this idea of how we connect with the animal kingdom and how it connects with us and how we support each other. That is always a main theme that I expound in these podcasts, because we're such an integral unit with each other, the animal kingdom and the human kingdom. And so your expertise on gratitude and all your writing on gratitude, and you and I have known each other, I'm not even sure how long we've known each other. 10 years.
Yeah,
right. So anyway, you always go to the gratitude piece, and I always feel like when I do work with your animals as an animal communicator, I always learn a lot about gratitude. So I'm really glad you decided to come and join us today, because you can share, well, a lot of what you've written and thought about for a decade about gratitude and how it impacts the animal kingdom. So, you know, thank you very much for carving out some time today to do that. It's a big topic. It sounds like a small topic. Gratitude is an idea that we maybe banter around lightly in our culture. But if you really take it as an energy or a power and you use it in your life differently, it's way more than that. And so thanks for coming on and sharing those ideas with us. It's awesome of you.
Oh, you're welcome, because gratitude. So I started to expand my understanding of gratitude about the same time when I started to get involved with HeartMath. And individually, they're both very powerful tools and topics, and together they're a superpower. So I discovered the world of gratitude also out of learning how to start living again after a period of time where I was focused on other things. And it was nature who started to introduce me to gratitude. Because some days all I could do was go out and hug a tree, and I did that often, and look at what was growing in the nature around me and what the nature was actually showing me and teaching me. So it was through nature that I first started to discover gratitude, because when you look out at your trees or your grass, your cactus, your tropical flowers, no matter where you are, we don't judge that. We view it, and we enjoy it, and we notice how beautiful it is, the colors, the shapes, the aromas, the things we can eat. And I started applying that to the situations around me by looking at the situations and going right into gratitude, going into this place of just non-judgmental and seeing exactly what was around me from that place. And then I started to discover that, you know, gratitude really does provide space. And it shifts us into the present moment. So we have a combination of being really present and room to look around, and then neutralizes any heightened emotion or activity. It just has this soothing, oh, like a fresh breath of air, calmness that just comes over the situation. That led me to really diving into gratitude.
Yeah, keep going.
I looked up the definition of gratitude, which was really interesting, because when you look up the definition of gratitude, it states, I'm using a word I'm going to talk about, the state of being grateful and thankfulness. At quick glance, that's just an easy, you know, just, all right, that's interesting. The word state stuck out. So then I looked up the word state. And the word state refers to transition, readiness, change. The example they use in the dictionary is vapor into water or gas into steam. So this place that something can happen and something can shift. And then I understood that gratitude is an energy, and it enables us to shift and change in the most positive of ways to navigate the situations or just enjoy life every day.
It's interesting. I looked it up too, the word, when I started to think about this topic. And this just happened to have been the one that was on the website I popped onto, which was an Oxford website. And it said, readiness to show appreciation and return kindness. And kind of like what you're saying there, there's a readiness to show something, a readiness to act, a readiness to step into it. At the same time, you're returning kindness by participating in readiness. Like, you're already there. Bam. Kindness and readiness working together. Like you said, it's a state of transition where you're moving from where you were to where you want to be.
Exactly. Exactly, which is a very helpful tool, especially when you're not sure what to do, to get out of to shift from being reactive to responsive. You know, a lot of times it's like, well, what do I do in between? Like, where do I go? I know I don't really like how I'm feeling and what I'm apt to do. I want to do something different. But what do I do instead? And going into gratitude just opens up the space to be ready to do something different, to see something different, to have solutions come in that are new and fresh in something that you haven't thought of before.
Yeah, we create space inside our psyche almost for a different program to run.
Yeah, and we even feel different. So because once we connect to and activate the energy of gratitude, you know, the fight, flight, the stress responses, they start calming down. And when they start calming down, we radiate differently. So we're changing not only our bodies, but we're changing how we're radiating out. And so whoever is closest to us, be it people, be it animals, be it our home company, the room will feel different. The environment will start to feel different. And that starts to shift everything just as the mechanics of being in the energy of gratitude. So it's not like we're doing it all ourselves. That energy will start working for us. And then that alone is very helpful in supporting us as we look at things in this new way.
So you would say then, maybe, I'm extrapolating from what you just commented on, but you would say then that you kind of allow that energy to replace the energy you had before, perhaps in a room or in your heart or in your relationship, maybe between you and an animal. You allow
yes.
it.
Yes. And choose it.
And choose
so
it.
So there's a lot of feelings associated with gratitude, which are, you know, warm and fuzzy and all those nice things. However, when you're working with the energy, we can choose it. So we can choose, make a conscious decision. You can even say that aloud. Like, I choose to access and activate the energy of gratitude and trust it. Trust that energy is showing up for you. It's all around us anyway. It's just like dialing in to a radio station, there you go, a radio frequency, dial in to the energy of gratitude and trust it's there. I wouldn't get stuck on looking for the feelings, because feelings are different. They're a different energy. You can have both at the same time, absolutely, but you don't need the feelings to access the energy of gratitude. The energy of gratitude will start looking after that part for you. The feelings may come later. They may not. That's secondary. What's important is that you've recognized you want to do something different. You've chosen to shift into the energy of gratitude, and then just let the energy of gratitude do what it does, shift you into the present moment, creating space, taking you out of judgment, and giving you, allowing new information to come through to see things from a different place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, tell us a little bit more, since you've studied this. When you differentiate activating an energy versus feeling gratitude. So, like you say, feeling gratitude can kind of have a mushy idea in our world, you know, a little like what you see in a drugstore card, you know, a greeting card like, oh, I'm so grateful or whatever, right? So tell us more about when does the feeling start to get activated versus you activating the energy of gratitude? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it will be best for me to explain it with a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I will share a short, real experience that happened with a horse named Giselle. So in the Cayman Islands, I was introduced to a white little horse, Cayman horse. She was tied to a tree, super aggressive. And I got curious about her because I wanted to know, okay, so like, what's with this horse? Why is she so aggressive? And I started to spend time with her. I started to try to get to know her to unlock what was going on. And I realized that one of her triggers was if you asked to pick up one of her feet to clean it, which is, you know, looking at good hoof care for in horse world, you would typically just reach down and pick up a foot and scrape it out. And in this case, with this horse, she would turn around lightning fast and bite you on the butt. Like, I'm talking big bite. Yeah.
Giselle.
So, yeah, the first time that happened to me, I took a step back and chose not to go into anger, but chose to go into gratitude for her showing me how she felt about that. So as I grabbed a knife pack, it was like, okay, so thank you for showing me how you feel about that. Let's try it a different way. And it occurred to me when seeing the bigger picture in the space that gratitude opens up, I just reached down and grabbed her foot. I stepped forward and waited for her to give me her foot.
Mm-hmm.
I took her foot, did what I needed to do, put her foot back down, no issue. And no issue from then on. And that has been 2003. So now we have a long history of no more issues around picking up feet, all because I was able to stop, look at the situation, thank her for her feedback, and then new solutions started to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I have many, many stories about that. So initially, how I felt about that was, and how anybody else would feel about it, I was mad and I was kind of like took it personally and why'd she do that with me?
And it hurt
her a lot. And it hurt.
Uh-huh.
And then when I chose to look at it from, oh, well, thank you for the feedback, then I was sort of in a neutral place. I was just in a neutral place. But then after I saw how quickly we could change her reaction into a response by giving her foot to me versus reacting when I picked it up, then, oh, my gosh, I was over the moon. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how easy that was to shift her and then made everything I did with her a positive experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, and you know, just as a big side note, really, you can appreciate Giselle's idea of I'm already chained to, or I'm already tied to a tree, so I can't flee, you know, I can't run away from you, and now you want to take away my ability to even move around the tree by holding one of my feet up. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to help her feet, I'm going to take care of them so that, you know, they stay strong and get debris out of them. She's thinking, why are you taking away yet another piece of my ability to run away from you, because I'm not sure I trust you yet. So her feedback was, I mean, biting you was her way of saying, not so fast, sister, you know, like, I'm not sure we're in the clear here because I don't trust you yet. And that when that happens on a whole other level, it reveals to us sometimes that we are assuming that somebody or wants to trust us, like she wasn't ready yet, right? That was basically, I think, what her feedback was, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I had no permission. That we didn't, even with, and even with horses that, you know, you have a long time, that permission is a big deal. And what's the best way to show an animal that, you know, they have permission to have their opinion and permission for us to engage is a good idea. You know, it changes everything. And if it was because it was my choice to go into gratitude versus discipline her and correcting her for her behavior that allowed me to see that this horse wasn't aggressive. She was just understood, extremely understood. She is smart. She is sensitive. She's actually very gentle. And just by taking a moment to clear the air with gratitude allowed me to see that.
Right. Got you both on a whole different space. And this is an idea we're going to keep coming back to in the next couple segments we have here. Thank you for joining us. This is Laura Rowley. I'm with Tricia Sybersma today, and we are discussing the nature of gratitude and how you can use it with animals and within yourself to enhance change and growth. And thank you so much for listening. This is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We're on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right back after this brief break. Thank you.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
The Soul Seat with psychic visionary Debbie Corr is where you'll discover how to awaken your soul, heal, and manifest. Are you searching for answers in all areas of life? Then have a seat and discover your life and soul's purpose. Whatever you're going through, Debbie's here to help you find your way forward. The Soul Seat can be heard every Tuesday at 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, when you can call Debbie to receive psychic answers and spiritual solutions right here on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm with author and poet Tricia Sybersma, who is a HeartMath certified trainer. And we are discussing gratitude and how you can use it with animals and with yourself. Thanks again, Tricia, for coming on. We were talking just a few moments ago about the nature of asking animals for permission before we, get in the act with them and ask them to do something for us. So I wanted to just, because you said that so perfectly, and it's a thought that maybe I don't say loud enough, often enough to my clients when I'm talking to them, and even on this show where we're trying to understand the nature of the connection between animals and people. But a big piece of that, a huge component, is permission. So for me to ask a horse to be able, may I sit on your back, a dog to get in the car with me, do what I ask him to do on a daily basis, walk on this leash, sit when I tell you to, don't bark when I tell you to. We sort of presume as in the animal kingdom, that we can say to our animals, I want my idea to be the important idea. I'm going to rule supreme. Now, in general, I think animals like a leader. Their hierarchy of all animals, whether it's a flock of geese, herd of horses, a pack of dogs, perhaps cats we can leave out of that scenario because cats not so much. But most animals prefer leadership so that there's a plan and so that the whole group can succeed, so that the whole group can work cohesively. So when we don't mind being leaders, and if we're good benign leaders and we ask for their trust, the first thing we really should ask for is permission. Like, is it all right with you if we do this? Because I think I have a plan and we're going to do it. Is something that really can't be understated, because then you're saying, I respect you as a follower. And I want you to respect me as your leader. So that way we can all make progress and be resilient and strong and happy. So you brought up a really great point when you were talking about permission, because I think a lot of us, you want to presume the role of the leader, but you also want to be super respectful and grateful for the fact that they even showed up on the platform to share the group with you, to the pack, the herd, the flock, that they're willing to meet us halfway and trust us to be in our group, right? And it's a powerful thing when, I don't care, I'm not necessarily a great leader if we're on a family trip or a group trip. I'm happy to have somebody else lead. And I'm grateful that they're willing to figure out where we're going, what the route is going to be, say on a hike. My willingness to let go of being the leader in that role is pretty lightweight compared to an animal that's actually maybe worried about their own safety, right? They have to surrender their ability to make free choice because you have a better plan. And we're navigating in a world that we understand, for instance, that there's dangers imminent out there, like a car. You can't let your dog run loose because a car might, you know, be a danger to them, say. They don't even understand the rules almost of our world. So when we say, I'm going to lead you, they're really giving us permission to have authority or sway over them. And whenever anybody does that, it's a moment for extreme gratitude, I think. We're talking about gratitude here because they're saying, I surrender my right to protect myself. You got this. And you got to, I don't know, that just really makes me feel gratitude and warm when I realize how often my animals trust me to make a decision on their behalf, whether it's crossing the road or whatever, putting a leash on, saying this is where we're going today. To just willingly say, okay, let's go do that is a big deal, you know. And in your story about Giselle, she wasn't on board yet. But
no, so being the human, choosing to go into gratitude to see the situation more clearly enabled her to get on board because then she had a choice. And she
right, it allowed her really to give her permission and get on and realize, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm being asked a question here. I'm not just being bullied, right?
Exactly. I had a funny thing happen this morning with my horse named Gwen. We were doing some things in our riding arena and some little exercises from the ground. And so she was beside me, loose in the arena. And at one point she was like, okay, I think I'm going to leave now. And instead of chasing after her to say, you know, come back here, let's finish, I stood there and just, well, where is she going to go? What's she going to do? What's she trying to tell me? And I just looked at her. I really tried to just shower her with gratitude to give her the space to show me permission, to show me what her thoughts were. Well, she just walked like 2 feet away and turned around and looked at me. She was just, and I viewed it as, oh, okay, so she's just really just kind of like, do you really mean it? Do you really mean I can take a moment to walk away and assess this from 2 feet away? And I'm like, yes, I really mean it. And I just waited for just to, you know, give her a minute to settle in. And she looked at me with like puzzlement in her eyes. Like often when you go into gratitude and you give the horse space and you wait for permission, they really do look at you like, well, this isn't what I expected to happen. I really expected you to kind of come after me and chase me and do this and do that. And when I just stood still and watched her and waited for her to decide when she wanted to come back, she just came right back and we carried on. And you know, it was quite a fun thing to do because of the look on her face.
Mm-hmm. And she chose actually to be in gratitude of the moment with you because she came back into it.
Yeah, she's like, oh, right. Okay, you know, so, all right. I don't want to be that far away from you. I changed my mind. I want to be up close. Let's do what we were doing. It was kind of nice.
Right. So then really, you know, the idea of resistance is in any kind of training with animals is a big idea. You know, why is the dog resisting sitting the first time you ask him to sit? Why doesn't the horse, you know, halt or whoa when we pull on the reins? Why do they keep walking forward? Anything that they do when they don't respond to our cues is called resistance. And so in the place where gratitude is, I find in the work I do, that's the place where you allow resistance to melt away. You decide it's not part of the program here. You don't have to resist me. We're just going to agree to cooperate. And from that place, whenever we let go of resistance about anything, all of a sudden we realize that we were the ones putting a lot of it's like playing tug of war with someone. If somebody just drops the rope and quits pulling, you're going to fall down almost like, oh, here, I was on this fight with you. Instead, really, we're not even fighting. Why don't we just stand here and look at each other and play a different game? The resistance fades there.
It does. And having a place to land as the person, I find, is really important. It's one thing to let your horse walk away from you, but what do you do with that? And that's where our mind can start making stuff up. And that's where, you know, the little voice in our head goes, well, how dare she walk away from me? So, like, how do you, where do you, what do you do while you're waiting? And that's where I find gratitude to be so useful, because it gives me something to do while I'm waiting to see what's going to happen next. And that's a great focus I know what to do, going to gratitude. Because in that moment where it's like, well, look at that. Now what do I do? Going to gratitude. And it just works.
And you bring up a good point, because I think too, like, I don't know, whenever you're training an animal, you know, when I'm not in my, like, animal communication, when I don't have my animal communication hat on and I'm just being me saying, could you all three dogs go outside for a few minutes? And I have one little dog that won't go out the door. His name is Eddie. And if the sun isn't shining and it's 72 degrees, he doesn't want to go outside. So frequently in Philadelphia, the conditions are not optimal. So he just stares at me like, I'm not going outside to go to the bathroom in the morning. I'm going to stay right here at the patio door and ask you repeatedly, I'll stand there. Come on, Ed, let's go. Come on. Everybody, all the other dogs are out. He won't go outside because, well, the grass might be wet. The sun isn't shiny. He just doesn't like it. So it's kind of amusing, because then, of course, I act like, you know, oh, why won't he do it? What's going on? My ego gets in the way. All of a sudden, I'm a little, I have to hurry. I have clients in 20 minutes. Come on, you always do this. What's this about? So in other words, I fill the space instead of with gratitude for, I love living with Eddie, and he's adorable and charming and a wonderful creature who loves creature comforts, and I appreciate that about him. So I go from that space where I'm full of gratitude to the space of how he's inconveniencing me, how I'm frustrated with it, how I'm angry because of it. So in other words, I come into a place of what? You know, total ego. Like, it's all about me all of a sudden. You know? And I know that when I talk to clients on the phone, my job is to help them see maybe where their ego is tripping them up, right? Because we all tend to get a little impatient. You know, we tend to forget that if the pause that refreshes is often the pause of saying, well, this isn't happening because he's not comfortable. Why don't I just be grateful for this moment and not worry about the outcome so much? And that is being in connection, I believe, with our higher self, not our ego self. So gratitude is kind of the passageway between those two. And when I function from a place of my higher self, well, usually the dog goes out, and I'm not actually ever going to be late for an appointment. And I'm joyful and happy because we connected. And I feel connected to source energy or to the love in me instead of the part of me that's impatient and frustrated. So it's a win-win-win-win when we stay out of our ego and work from a place of our higher self. Then I've always thought that, you know, like, your gratitude is the way to stay with your higher self.
And you brought up a really valid point. Gratitude doesn't always mean, oh, happy and, you know, butterflies and chocolate chip cookies. Gratitude, because of the nature of it, is helpful even in times of tremendous stress and when things aren't going well. It's still a very helpful place to go. Because even in those times, when we're dealing with changes, we're dealing with something that's just happened, when, you know, we're going to have a difficult conversation with somebody or whatever is coming up for people, being in that state of gratitude, you know, it's a little less exhausting. Mm-hmm. There's nutrition in the gratitude energy. Nutrition as in it, I find that, yeah, we don't get as exhausted. We stay connected to the parts of our brain that enable us to pull in information to access our best decision making and our best responses to things. So it's mm-hmm. not just about the happy times. It's also even dealing with an injured animal. So we don't go into panic, we don't go into fear, and we don't then put our heightened emotions on something that's already injured, on something that's already difficult. Gratitude allows us to be in control and regulate our own stress responses so we don't add injury to injury, and also to see the situation again more clearly with more space, being more neutral and like from a bird's eye view, and see something that we didn't see before that could be helpful in that situation.
Right. Very, very well put. Very well said. Well, this is Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley, and we have the pleasure of listening to author Tricia Sybersma. You can look at Tricia's work and about her work, and also get onto her shopping website to see her poetry books, her photography, her prose, and the work that she does as a certified heart math trainer. If you look at TriciaSybersma.com, so I'm going to spell that once. It's TriciaSybersma.com. That's TriciaSybersma.com. And you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley, and we'll be back in just a moment.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
Uncover how self-love can help you become happier and more confident with Lorna Byrne, best-selling author of memoir, Angels in My Hair. Gain understanding about your connection with your guardian angel and let go of the negativity in your life. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for the Angelic Path to Self-Love at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 22nd to the 24th. Learn more at eomega.org.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We're on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. Today we are hostessing, since it's a girl, Tricia Sybersma. She is an author and a poet who studies the idea of gratitude and what it brings to the table when we use it in our relationships, whether it's with our family, our friends, or the animals that we love and that we live with. So thank you, Tricia, for being with us again. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the relationship with animals, particularly since this is a show about animals. And you know, people call me when there's behavioral issues usually. Like, in other words, everybody is stuck. They can't get a response from the animal that they're hoping to get, or they think maybe there's a health crisis and they're frightened. And you were mentioning earlier, Tricia, about, you know, when we're trying to take care of an animal maybe that's injured, or we're in charge of an animal that's acting suddenly. You know, he's isolating himself. He's not eating. You know, his dietary habits have gone strange. The cats that all of a sudden stop using their litter box. Like, we know we're being called to action. Something is wrong if we're paying attention. And, you know, you're introducing the idea, Tricia, of gratitude as a way to step in to really be your best self to address the emergency. Like, if you go in there all charged up thinking, you know, it's almost like the animal is giving you a distress call. Suddenly he doesn't want to go for his walk, or he won't eat his food. It's a distress call. And, of course, we want to be the best humans we can be. And as, you know, the mother of that animal or the father of that animal, we think, oh, I got to do something. So our flight or fight response kind of gets activated there. We get all charged up, but we're not sure what to do. Of course, we call it, you know, medical professionals and, you know, veterinarians, and sometimes they can find what's wrong and all is well, and we solve the mystery. But sometimes it's maybe behavioral or a spiritual problem, or even a problem that isn't yet reaching a state of illness where the veterinarian can actually find it yet. You know, a tummy ache that hasn't turned into full-blown illness, for instance. I mean it in that sense. So it's our job to sort of bridge that place for our animals. It's our job as caretakers of them to help them get over it. So even when we engage the idea of gratitude, for one thing, it calms us down because we say, well, I'm grateful for this relationship. It isn't perfect. And, for instance, I'm in charge of an animal that's showing me signs and I don't know what to do about it. I feel helpless. When we kind of analyze where we are with things, instead of flinging ourselves into flight or fight, we can then take the next step, I believe, and get down to, you know, being grateful that you even have this life with this animal and that you're going to be grateful for the fact that you have a good attitude and you're going to do the best you can do. And when you step into that pause, that place where there's a gap between the panic of I've got to fix this and it's all perfect like it is, so why don't I just calm down? Lots of times, whatever it is that is bothering the animal goes away. It fixes it. Because we are sharing all of a sudden this confidence of purpose. We're here together. Something's bothering you a little bit, but since it's not so big that a veterinarian can find it, it might be kind of a tweak or a little tiny thing, an ache or a pain. If we calmed down and started to just share this idea of being poised for a different phase, a transition into something different. What is the definition of gratitude again? Readiness to show appreciation and return kindness. So how often when we just call each other as friends and say, hi, I'm just calling to see how you're doing. I know you've had a bad week. Suddenly your bad week doesn't seem so bad, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so when you say that to your pet, I'll use the word pet sort of as, you know, companion animal. This isn't so great. I don't know what's going on either. But you know what? We're in this together, and I love you, and I'm going to listen to you. And when you just think those thoughts, you have added this piece, just like the example I have of calling a friend and saying, I'm just worried about you. How are you? You've added that to their life, and suddenly they feel appreciated, and they definitely respond to that. They definitely think, oh, she's got me. She's not mad at me because I, you know, peed on the carpet. She sees I'm not normally trying to do this, that something's bothering me, or I wouldn't have done it. And all of a sudden, they just feel supported. And who doesn't want that, right?
Yeah, well, I feel better just saying it. Yeah, so just hearing you say, you know, how are you, I just immediately felt better. And even though it wasn't directed at me, it just filled the conversation with that really yummy energy. It's like, oh, yeah, that felt really nice.
Right. So all of a sudden, the flight or fight response goes down because whenever we're not feeling our best, whether you're a person or an animal, it doesn't help if you start to panic over it. And one phenomenon that I notice a lot in my work, which I think is kind of highlights this, is people will call me up at this moment, say they've already been to their veterinarian, and the veterinarian just doesn't know why they're suddenly throwing up and says, I don't know, go home, try changing dog foods, and, you know, try a different approach. So they're doing that, but they're a nervous wreck. So they call me to find out if I can help in this process, in this mystery, to determine, well, you know, why are they uncomfortable, or why are they suddenly off their digestive prowess? And when that happens, they end up talking to my secretary, who usually tells them I can't see them for a few weeks, right? Which isn't ideal and something I wish I could fix, but there's only one of me. And so people have to wait for me, and I don't love that, but it is what it is. So I have to tell you then, by the time I see him maybe 3 or 4 weeks later for the actual appointment about that animal, they'll say, well, it's the funniest thing. After I called your office, and they kind of dump it on Karen Klein, who's my assistant, and they say, I know Laura's going to help me in 3 weeks, they calm down, and they'll say, it's the funniest thing. The thing I called you about has actually gone away now, but since I have this appointment, I want to do something else with it, like with a different animal in the household, or, you know, they just want to maybe still have me check the other animal, but it's because they calm down by kind of dumping it on my plate, on my schedule, as Laura will fix this later. So they filed it away in some part of their being that is, oh, I got help. I feel better. Whew. I've taken steps. I feel better. Whew. And as you de-escalate and calm down from that flight or fight thing, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, thank God I could call Laura, right? And so then all of a sudden you're feeling grateful. Now, whether Laura problem later...
And that was me. I mean, our first calls between, you know, 10 and 15 years ago, that was me. That was, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm never going to have a bad animal day for the rest of my life. Or we'll just, like, tell my animal what I want and just we'll fix things. And then I found heart math, then I found gratitude, and then I started to do some of my own work. Really, it's what do you do between the calls with Laura? Like, I had to map that out. What do I do between the calls with Laura? And I found that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you do is you ended up really contemplating the nature of a whole idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Because they have their own free will. My biggest learning from your work is, animals have their own free will and their own journey and purpose on the planet and with us. And it may not be their time to change something that would suit us better. It may not be their time to do that. They have their free will just like mm-hmm. we have our free will. And the best way to work with that together, to have a cohesive relationship, the word you said earlier, is by infusing it with gratitude.
Yeah, you kind of then turn maybe frustration and fear into, I think, you know, you said it on your website, like you allow fascination and, you know, you ask yourself, instead of why is he doing this behavior? Why is my dog peeing on my living room carpet? Like, that might be your question. Instead, you might think a different idea, which would be with a little more fascination, like, what is he trying to tell me that I could maybe I could get involved with here just to assist them? Like, what is he asking me for is very different than why is he doing this to me and my carpet, right? It's mm-hmm. not to me. It's not being, I shouldn't take it personally. I should realize that this is just their way of saying something's wrong with me and I'm trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shifts the whole, and then of course the relationship just continues to expand in such a new and fresh, and they participate in the relationship when you infuse it with gratitude. because you're inviting them to participate, and you're asking for permission, and just it just expands and expands and just becomes this, you know, mm-hmm. really lovely experience.
Well, it does. And then what I noticed a lot of the time with my work, with my clients, but also with my own family of animals, is the more they feel like you're willing to go there with them, be fascinated in the problem instead of frustrated with it, the less drama they have to insert to get the act done of, I'm not feeling perfectly, you know, can you give me some assistance? They start to trust that there's like always a dialogue there between
yes,
you and them.
So, Laura, sorry. Mm-hmm. I have a burning question.
No, go ahead.
So when you are in an animal communication session, how is gratitude perceived by the animals from your ability to kind of look at things from their point of view? How do they perceive when a person shifts from being dominant or not knowing what to do in a situation to gratitude?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I mean, I think that in the moment, one of the things that they do with us as their people is they make eye contact with us. They look us in the eye and say, you're actually listening to me instead of trying to manage me. Thank you. And I think most people will see that. From the perspective of me being the third person as a professional when I do this work, for them, I find like my heart wants to melt when I talk about it, because the animal instantly senses a shift from us being humans that are too busy with our human existence that isn't based necessarily around love and life and gratitude and feelings. We're always in this high-end mode of get it done, what are we supposed to be doing next? You know, we're always run on the clock. So when we make that shift, their hearts just melt and think, oh, thank goodness, they actually are just listening to me. We don't listen. We tend to ask them, what's wrong, instead of just sitting there and listening to what they might have been trying to tell us. And so they are filled with love when we stop and pause. And I'm so privileged to get to actually feel that because I'm an empath. But I think that most people that are listening to the show are probably empathic with their animals and feel that too, that deep love feeling. And lots of times we're the one blocking it with trying to overthink everything instead of just sitting there and being grateful for what is and how we're here together, and how in this one moment we can maybe solve a mystery and make everybody feel better. And when we can be that neutral, the animals sense it and they turn right on and try to help us. It's kind of a beautiful communion that I get to participate in as an animal communicator, but it's certainly a beautiful communion for all of us that have animals, that every day we have the chance to get to do that. You know, heart-to-heart kind of stuff. It's amazing. Well, I see we are out of time, and I want to thank Tricia Seibersma for being here and for all of your lovely, well-thought-out ideas and thoughts. You can check out her website. It's TriciaSeibersma.com. And you can also call my office or look at my website, LauraRowleyHealer.com, if you want the information on how to reach Tricia or to have a heart math session with her. So thank you, everyone, for joining me today. This has been Animal Connections with Laura Relly on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to LauraRowleyHealer.com. That's LauraRowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.